While we stopped to change the tape, you showed me a pair of pretty blue vases on top of your piano. Tell that story again, if you will.
They were given to my mother by her very first sweetheart.
And you say they survived your fire?
Beg pardon?
And you say they survived the fire?
The fire, yes. Someone saved those vases when the fire burned their home. They realized they were pretty vases, and they are. It's wonderful that they went through the fire and didn't get burned.
And you also said that your parents had six children altogether.
Yes, yes. And only Gracia and I lived. You see, that first one was, wasn't he beautiful?
Yes.
A beautiful child. And the color man always called him Pat, you know. And Pat was the one who came over from, well, from Seneca and asked Miss Myra if he could go in to sleep, you know. She had a storeroom and it had bed. Pat always was welcome because he was a good colored man. You know, I appreciate our good colored people. And my mother always, always tried to help them. Because, you know, they were, well, we would say, under the white people for a long time. My grandfather never kept any slaves, any colored people he had. He paid them to work for him. And his bonds, he had a lot of bonds way off from the house, but he kept the colored people to help him and had houses he let them live in. You know, people used to be more thoughtful of them. Of course, they didn't expect such fine houses. Then they had the bedrooms and the fireplaces and the place to cook. And that's the way they were.
Let's talk some about what Calhoun was like when you were growing up. First, may I ask where your family attended church?
Where we attended church? Oh, yes. I attended church at a little schoolhouse. My grandfather gave the land. And it was a one, it was a two-room, long schoolroom like a store, but it's built in two, cut in two rooms with a partition between. And that's where I went to school until later. I went to Central School, and I was in the fourth grade by that time, and went on the train every morning, leaving at 7 o'clock, and come back afternoon about 5 o'clock.
Why did you go to Central to school?
Well, we didn't have an accredited school here at that time.
Whose school did you attend in Central?
Whose Central?
Was it a public school or a private?
No, it was a public school, Pickens County, and Mrs. Folger, Dag Folger's sister was my teacher. You ever hear of Dag Folger?
No, I haven't.
Well, Dag Folger was Dr. Folger's son, and he married Vivian Rowland. Vivian Rowland's people were in charge of the Central. That used to be a great changing place for the trains. Do you ever hear of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And it was a large building, upstairs and all, and had a long porch and a long entrance out to the trains.
So the old schoolhouse where you began school here in Calhoun?
Down here, a two-room schoolhouse.
That's on what's known now as the old Central Highway.
Central, and I believe the building's still down there.
No, it's gone now.
It has. You know, they recently, not recently, but a few years ago, they redid it and built a basement under and all like that. Does all that show now?
I'm not sure. And so that was on land that your grandfather provided here in Boggs.
Yes, my grandfather gave land. He learned from being with the Calhouns the value of owning some soil. So he bought land, you see, when the land was really cheap. Now, I've heard about it being 50 cents an acre in the mountains. You ever heard of anything like that?
That's mighty cheap.
Yeah, that's very cheap. But I guess it had to... Well, somebody, I think, sold that place in Liberty. What kind of grinding is it they do? They make gravel. It's a gravel place near Liberty. You can see it from, one can see it from the railroad. And I guess maybe the other on the highway.
When you were going to school in Calhoun, do you remember who your teacher was?
Miss Carrie Calhoun. Miss Kay Winklehorn.
How was she related to the family, to the Calhoun family?
Well, she was, though. Her mother was there at the home, and Mrs. Shiver had married one of the teachers. He had died. She was one of them, Miss Kay Winklehorn's sister. And all. I used to take piano lessons at Calhoun Mansion. And always go over to the mansion. Miss Kay Winklehorn used to be so happy when my mother would ask her to spend the night with us. She taught down at this little schoolhouse. But about once a year, Mother would let her spend the night with us. But she wore those kind of pointed shoes, and she had to walk from the Calhoun Mansion down to this little school building. It was quite a long walk. I know she was always so thankful, it seemed, when Mother asked her to spend the night.
And you say it was a two-room schoolhouse.
Yes.
Were there two teachers?
Yes, two teachers.
And about how many students?
I have no idea how many teachers there were, but there was one of these rooms with a seat, you know, a seat and desk, had a nice seat and desk, and we sat two in the seat. I sat with Georgia Cochran. That's Mamie's baby sister, Georgia. You've heard of her.
Yes.
A very, very fine girl. And she and I sat together. And then there was two or three rows of these, you know, and an old-fashioned big belly stove. And that's where I first went to school.
Do you remember how many students there were in the room?
No, but I would think there were at least 40.
Well, you mentioned and from several different grades, all in the same
yeah,
room.
They were in different grades. Your teacher would call one up and call another up. And
what kind of heat did the schoolhouse
they
have?
They had heaters, one in each end.
A coal heater?
And I remember John Wesley Smith, Miss Lewis Smith's son. Now, he mentioned being cold, and she made him make a big fire, and she made him sit by it. And I remember it really wasn't a sensible thing to do because the stove grew red hot. But he sat there till his face turned red, and then she let him get up.
There were, of course, no restrooms in the school.
Outdoor toilets all together. One for the men and one for the women.
So not only did you have a long walk to the school, but your teacher had an even longer walk.
Oh, yes, she had a longer walk. But, you know, teaching school, I don't know whether she made $60 a month or not, but it gave them an income. And so that means something, you know. I didn't work at Washington very long. I think I was up there about 20 years, but I have a little income from that, and that helps a great deal. I never get it. I just let them send it to the bank. But it gives me something to write checks on.
Do you remember somebody by the name of Lebby connected with the school?
Lebby?
Yes.
Yeah, Lebby's. Yes, they were great friends of Mamie's. The Lebby's.
What did he have to do with the school?
I don't know what he had to do with the school, but he lived in a wood house up there where Lucille Bennett's house is now. He lived in a wood house. I remember the Lebby's. They were great friends of Mamie and those. We were not particular friends of them. I don't remember anything about them except the name Lebby.
You mentioned Georgia Cochran, with whom you
said. Georgia was a baby of the Aunt Alice's family.
Who else do you remember from your school class?
From my school class? Pauline Goodman and Sally Goodman and Carrie Reed, who became, when her husband died, she became the postmaster at Clemson. And Lewis Goodman, because I remember if your underskirt showed, Lewis would say, "Cotton's low." He was a big tease, you know. Lewis was older. And he and Carrie Goodman later married, you know, when they grew up. And Pauline and Sally and Salome Boggs and Aaron Boggs and Fanny Hendricks and Carrie Hendricks. Yeah, I remember quite a few of them.
Yes, and about a third of those were cousins of yours, weren't they?
Yeah, some of them were. The Hendrickses were not any relatives. Those Boggses were, of course. They were Uncle Hal's children, you see. He had Kilford and Bose and all. He had eight children. two girls. There were six boys, you see, among his crowd, about six boys.
Do you remember when the school term started?
Yes, it didn't start till about after a week of September had gone. And that made it really better because it can be so hot the 1st of September, mm-hmm. about a week after.
And how long during the year did it last? May, June?
Yes, it lasted until in the late spring because sometimes they would stop for a week for children to pick cotton, you know, to help them get the cotton out of the field. And
do you remember how many hours a day you went to school?
Oh, yes, a long time. We had to go, I think it was 8:30 in the morning, and we didn't get out till after 4. So, you see, it made a long day, but we had an hour for lunch. So many children right around here could go home for their lunch. I remember we came home very often for our lunch.
It must have been, about a 15-minute walk to the schoolhouse?
Uh-huh. Yes. You see, we walked down through the woods, not the road.
So that made it quicker and more fun.
A path down there. And all those things.
Did the school provide your books, or did the family have to buy them?
Oh, no, we had to buy the books. And I know some people would have difficulty buying the books because they're sold for cash only, you know.
Where did you buy the books?
At Central.
At a
Central drugstore there at Central. They handled the books.
So you had to go several miles away just to even get your textbooks.
Yes, had to go, it's considered, I think, about 4 or 5 miles to Central. To Ohio, we had to go to get the books because it's all under the underpass. So it would be about 5 miles to Central.
What church did your family belong to?
Oh, that's what you, Methodist. My mother was a Methodist and my father was a Methodist. And later, when they built this Baptist church here, this Dr. McCall came over, and he invited and insisted we come there to Sunday school and things. So we began going there for Sunday school and staying for church. So my sister and I both joined the Baptist church. And Mother didn't mind. She was glad for us to join any church of our choice, any church of our choice. And since we began going there so much, and Mrs. Sam Earle was a great teacher, and she was a great organizer of the church. She was an Episcopalian, and it nearly broke her heart, but she changed and came to the Baptist church because her husband and her son, young Sam Earle, were both Baptists. So that gets on the religion.
And you also said
I began going to the Episcopal church when I was just a little tiny girl, you know. And then went a little bit to the Presbyterian church when they'd have a Christmas tree, you know. All those things that interested a child a great deal.
Were your parents members of the Mount Zion Church?
Yes,
where they are
Mount
buried?
Zion Church at Central. They were instrumental in helping to get the church built. Now, you know, they have a new church there now, but they built the old one, which colored people bought, and they might still be using it. I hope they are.
So,
Mount Zion.
So your parents also went several miles just to go to church?
Oh, yes, yes. And Miss Prince would go with us sometimes and drive a carriage and horse with two horses driving, you know, and go to Central.
Was that her carriage or your father's?
It was my father's. I tell you, they might not have had church more than once a month, you know. You just no telling. I remember going, though, and the two horses. I like to stand up in the back, you know, to hold, even though I had a seat.
Did you ever go to the Wesleyan Methodist Church?
Yes, I've gone to the Wesleyan Methodist Church.
And where did they meet?
And Mrs. Smith, you know, is a member of the Wesleyan Methodist Church, and they use this schoolhouse down here, and they made it more modern, you know, in many ways. So I've gone to Sunday school. Miss Anna Gaines was one of the teachers, and she was an excellent teacher. And I did most of my Sunday school going down to the little schoolhouse.
Do you remember when that church started?
No. My grandfather gave that It must have been started before I was born, because it was always there.
And the church was already going before you were born also?
I imagine, because I just don't remember seeing it until then.
But you were certainly going there as a young child.
Yes, a young child. That's where I went.
Okay, let's take a look around Calhoun.
And then I went on the train to Central, you see, mm-hmm. because it was an accredited school.
Suppose you were at your old wooden house, the site of your later house, what would you have seen directly across the street?
From me, you know that the brick building across the street has been there ever since before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
Name his father, built the building, I guess. He made the brick, I know. I don't know who built it. He made the brick.
And this is John Wesley Cochran you're referring
uh-huh.
to.
Yeah.
Who had the store as far back as you can remember?
Mr. Nichols, for one. Nichols and Holden, seemed to me. Nichols and Holden. They ran the store for a while. Of course, there might have been earlier ones than theirs.
Where were the Nichols from?
Seneca.
And he lived over there and had a store here?
I don't know where he lived. I think he lived here, though.
And who
is married the... Nicholas, and the woman was Ms. Nichols. I think maybe they lived right next door there for a while. You know, that's an old house. Dr. Hines lived in that house when my mother-in-law lived down in the old home that burned. And Dr. Hines decided that Seneca was growing more than right Calhoun was, and he moved to Seneca. You've heard of Dr. Hines, perhaps, in Seneca.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So he started here at Calhoun.
Yes, he lived over there. I think that was his home right over there.
And you're referring to the house diagonally across the street from you.
The one right across the street from me.
So you said Mr. Nichols had the store, and
he was working in the store. I don't know. He just might have been a clerk. It seemed to me like Morgan owned the store. Morgan from Seneca owned that store. And Nichols and Holden ran it.
Do you remember Mr. Morgan himself?
Yes, an old man from Seneca. Lived not quite in town. Lived before you get to Seneca on the old road. That's an old road winding around town.
And he also had other people to run it for him then.
Uh-huh, yes.
On the front of the old building is...
Morgan and Holden,
right.
Uh-huh. Well,
so.
That's right.
Holden must have been a partner for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I believe you also told me that you worked at the store for a while.
I kept books 11 years, much too long.
For whom?
But much too long for me. I should have been out in a broader field.
Who owned the store when you were keeping books?
Mr. Morgan still owned it. And finally, some trouble came up with him. I don't know whether he didn't get as much income as he thought he should get, you know. So they came to my mother. She was very good giving advice. And Norman came over and asked Mother what to do about it. He said he wanted to sell it to him, and he didn't have money to buy. And Mother said, well, why don't you just divide the goods? And that's what they did. Divided can for can. Measured cloth, you know, they had bolts of cloth that measured that. General dry goods store, that's what they did. He had plenty for his store, and he did very well to get rid of half the old stuff.
So the person you're referring to now is Norman Boggs.
Norman Boggs, he was my supervisor at the store. I worked there a long time.
So Norman Boggs first worked for Mr. Morgan.
Yes, for Mr. Morgan.
And then they divided the store, and Mr. Boggs took it over.
Owned it, uh-huh.
Do you remember, it's been a long while, how much you got paid for being bookkeeper?
I got $30 a month, and then the drugstore at Clemson said they wanted me to work over there at McCollum's place. And so I got $35, went on up to $40, and finally I got $65. And that's why I stayed there a long time, because my home was right across the street. It's convenient, stayed there too long. But then when I got out, I liked it so much better. Getting away from home. People need to get away for a little while, I think.
And the drugstore you're referring to is the old Martin drugstore?
Martin drugstore, yes. They kept offering me a better salary till Mr. Boggs' name gave me $65 a month, and that was very good staying at home, you know, at that time.
Where was the store back then?
In the same brick building.
The drugstore.
Oh, the drugstore. I think they built a new building for the drugstore. It's just maybe a door or two higher than the drugstore was then.
Let's go back to your bookkeeping. What types of things did you do? Did you prepare statements for people?
Oh, yes, every statement. And then we had to write them out, you know. So I was really busy with the statements. And then we kept a box of cards, the everyday check, you know. If sometimes they'd say, well, I didn't get that so-and-so, and you could show them the card. Later, they began making them sign a card, whatever they bought, you know, sign a little card. They couldn't ever say they didn't get it.
So most people charged?
Oh, yes, the charge accounts.
And the store delivered?
Oh, yes. Norman Bowers went himself to door from door to the college and took orders and came back and filled orders. Sometimes I'd get tired working in the office and I'd come up to help him fill some of the orders, and I remember somebody laid their cigarette down on paper, you know, it had a little shelf on it. Laid their cigarette down on it. I put my hand on it one time. Somebody said, well, I know it had, but it was funny seeing you jump when I touched that live cigarette.
Well, I've heard that Leon Crawford also helped with the door-to-door solicitation of goods.
He did, and we worked under Mr. Leon Crawford when he was doing that.
Who did the delivery work?
Well, Mr. Leon Crawford, you know, at all times we all got hard up, and he was right hard up. He came up to our home one evening and was sitting on the front porch. He said, I have a job, and I'll give you girls a job if you'd like. Said, I know you think strange of my having this job, but I have a job, and we'll give you a job if you want. So we told him we'd take it. And it was delivering. It was a good job. We had been going in his car, and we had little sacks of flour. I get flour that we'll make bread out of. It might have been a 2-pound bag. It's about like this, a little sack of flour. And we went around giving people the sack of flour to advertise it. So it was a good job, and we stopped somewhere and take a lunch or something. I don't know where we got lunch, but anyway, that's where we did that for Mr. Leon. He said, I know you think I haven't been working, but I have this job now, and I need somebody to help. So Gracie and I did that.
How far around did he
Somebody
deliver?
Else helped us, too. I don't remember who else it was, some other girl. Beg pardon?
How far away from the store did he deliver? Half a mile, a mile?
Oh, just all around, all the places. Yeah. He took up Clemson, wasn't as large then as it is now, you know, it spread out.
Did he
but
deliver
Clemson
over?
Clemson was a kind of little university place, you know, wasn't so large. And then when people began to sell some of the lots, you see, people began buying and that father.
Did the Bog store sell to people or Morgan over at the college?
Oh, yes. That's where he went to take orders. And he'd come back and fill orders that afternoon. And Roy and Herman would deliver the orders. Herman graduated Clemson. Roy went to Clemson, but he didn't graduate there. He didn't graduate.
And those are both sons of Norman Bowers.
Norman Bowers. He had two sons, Roy and Herman. So,
that's
Roy's home right up here, where Louise lives. That was Roy's. He didn't live there, though, at first. He lived in a rented house on the road down toward the lake. But when this house became available, he decided to buy it, and he did buy it. And it suits Louise very nicely to live there.
Were there no general stores near the college?
Fred Crawford owned a store. You might have heard of him, Mamie's husband. He owned a store. And it was above where the loan bank is, where the big columns are. That's where Fred's store was. I used to ride over there on horseback and get things. And there was right below his store was where they shoe the horses. What do you call it? Shop for shoeing horses.
Blacksmith,
thank you. Blacksmith shop. And I'd go over there and get my horse shod, you know, and go up to the store.
Let's come back to Calhoun and the other businesses here. One of the places that's important to me is a building that stood right where your house is now.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about that, if you will.
That building, let's see, Mr. Smith was running it, as far as I know. Would he be your grandfather?
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh, your grandfather. Mr. Smith was running that store. And he would have fireworks and all in the evening. And when our house burned, we had rooms over the store. And Bess, a Georgia, and Alice would sit on top of our stair steps and watch them shoot firecrackers and things, Roman candles at Christmas time. We'd get on those stair steps. You know, children usually find a way to be there, so we were there too.
So my grandfather did the fireworks.
Yes, he did the fireworks. Your grandfather.
And that store was right.
And Mr. Smith was your grandfather.
Yes, and that store was right here where your house is now.
Yes, right here where the house is now.
Do you know who started that business?
That store?
Yes, who started the business?
Yes, my Uncle John Bob started the store. And when he moved to Pickens, I suppose when he was elected clerk, of course, when he moved to Pickens, well, Mr. Smith bought it, because I know they came down here and bought their groceries from Mr. Smith. So I imagine they were crediting the groceries on his buying the store.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come down and get a load of groceries from Pickens. And Mr. Smith was a very accommodating man, very accommodating. He was in bed a few months maybe before he died. I don't remember. But I know for a while before he died, he was in bed.
Do you know who built the store building?
Well, I think Mamie's father. I think Mamie's father did the building.
That would again be John Wesley Cochran.
Uh-huh.
We'll come back about
you
him
know,
in
he,
just
he
a moment.
He was building, he was endeavoring to build up the place, you know. And that's the road. They owned a great deal of land over there. Of course, it's been sold and all. And he built a nice home for their home, you know.
And that house is still standing.
Still standing. The people have added on some to it, but it is a nice home to begin with. He had a living room with a fireplace, and then the hall, and another room the size of this with a fireplace and two windows. And another room where Mamie's mother often sat, and she made tatting, beautiful tatting. And she had windows there. I don't remember whether it was one or two, but it had a window and a fireplace. You know, it was a cozy place to go in and sit with Aunt Alice in the home. And then they built a boys' room on. That was on when I remember. You know, the room that extends out. The house. Have you noticed it?
Yes.
Oh, that was the boys' rooms.
Who was John Wesley Cochran's wife?
Beg pardon?
Who was John Wesley Cochran's wife? I believe you called her Mary Alice?
Miss Louis Smith was John Cochran's sister.
Right, that was my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
And
Alice Cochran must have been his wife. Yes, she was his wife because we called him John, Uncle John.
And she was a Boggs by
uh-huh,
birth.
Uh-huh, she was a Boggs.
So you were related to her.
Yes. Aunt Clara Boggs. Aunt Clara had a sad life. She's dead. And then there was Aunt Alice who married John. And I think there were about seven children. I don't remember if I can remember them all or not. And Uncle Will Crawford, he was a son-in-law and dressed fine, but always needed to polish his shoes. And he made a sorry husband. She had a hard life. And then my mother and Uncle Hal was a baby boy. That must get most of the children. Uncle Hal was a baby boy. Uncle John, she had three boys, Uncle John and Hal. And who was the other one I called?
Well, you've mentioned several times, and let's put it on the record,
yes,
Mamie Crawford, who was
who?
Mamie Crawford,
yes.
Who was John Wesley Cochran's daughter.
Yes.
And married a Crawford.
Yes.
And let's stop for just a second and change the tape.